Good afternoon. It is 1:32 p.m., November 26, 2024. This is an informal hearing regarding XL Energy's transmission cost rider. This will be the third XL informal that we've had today, but that's just the season we're in to cover these. I'm joined by Commissioners Sherry Haugenhoffert and Julie Fedorchek. And when we are ready to start, we'll go around the table and have everybody introduce themselves so there's a record of the meeting participants. I want to emphasize that this is an informal hearing, which means we will only deal in undisputed information. If we get into things that are under dispute, we will have to cease this informal and schedule a formal hearing. But I don't foresee that necessarily happening. I don't really have any opening comments. Commissioner Fedorchek, did you?
I do not.
And so Commissioner Haugenhoffert is portfolio holder. I'll turn it over to you for opening comments and then just proceed with the hearing.
Yeah. Thank you, Chair. I have no opening comments, as I'll have XL introduce themselves, who's going to participate in this informal, and then take off with the presentation.
Thank you very much, Commission and staff, for having us here today. My name is Alex Nesbitt. I'm a regulatory policy specialist out of our Fargo office.
And I'm Chris Buwaltz. I'm the senior manager for project management out of Minneapolis for our NSP operating companies, both Minnesota and Wisconsin.
Chris, could you spell your last name?
B-U-B-O-L-T-Z.
And what was your title, Chris?
Senior Manager of Project Management.
Okay.
Transmission Project Management, technically.
Okay.
And then we should have a couple of people on the line with us that are joining as well.
If you're online, would you state your name, please?
Yep, Lori Wold. I'm with the Revenue Requirements team. I'm the manager.
Okay, well, and then, yeah, he can introduce himself as we go.
Yeah, absolutely. And he'll be speaking to a handful of slides in. So we'll get going. I'll be providing brief opening remarks, and as always, feel free to jump in with any questions at any point in time. I'll be covering the first couple of slides, which are really just providing the high-level numbers and figures and some of the timing around this TCR. If you look at the first slide, on October 3rd, 2024, we submitted an application for approval of transmission cost rider rate designed to recover the 2024 revenue requirements for eligible transmission projects. We continue to make investments in new transmission facilities to maintain and improve system reliability and increase power delivery in North Dakota, South Dakota, and Minnesota. You'll see on this first slide the applicable TCR statute that we apply this under. This just states at a high level as far as allowing us to return on capital work in progress. If I guess one other bit of housekeeping there, cleanup that I wanted to point out first is that our original filing was on October 3rd, 2024. We had to file a revision of proposed revenue requirements on November 19th, 2024. That had to deal with the removal of NSPW CWIP costs for the ComNetwork program in this year's filing. This was inadvertently added and removed after we received a DR from PSC staff. We did do an additional validation to confirm that no other forecasted CWIP amounts from NSPW projects were included in this filing. This was an approximately $85,000, $939 reduction, and the numbers discussed herein reflect that. All the slides that you're going to see today do reflect that the last bullet point that I've got up there, just these rates, they will be recovered when a project stops and has been transferred to base rates. I'll point out that we're going to be filing an electric rate case in the coming days. With that, we will be proposing to recover these projects through the TCR until final rates are implemented. We're not going to be running these through the interim rates for the time being.
How much was that correction that staff got?
The correction was $85,939.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay, perfect. I think Jason is on now if he wants to introduce himself.
Yes, my apologies. I had to download the app. This is Jason Standing, Manager of Transmission Planning for NSP in NSP, Wisconsin.
Thank you. So in this, we propose to continue to recover North Dakota's retail share revenue requirements for qualifying transmission facilities not currently being recovered in North Dakota electric base rates, as well as our ongoing net expenses from MISO Schedule 26 and 26A regional economic benefit charges, RECB charges. On this slide, being slide number 3, we'll give you the high-level bullet points as far as what's going into this TCR rate. This includes 5 new projects that I believe Jason will be talking about more in depth once we get to slide 6. The other high points are the overall revenue requirement, which is $4,756,570. This is a proposed rate of 0.002231 cents per kilowatt hour. To put that into context with the last TCR that we filed in North Dakota, we're looking at a $1.67 per month for a typical residential customer for a usage level of 750 kilowatt hours. In relation to last year's TCR that we filed, this reflects an approximate increase of 59 cents compared to the charge approved in our last TCR proceeding. On this slide, just providing a bit of rate history for the TCR. You'll see the last handful of years, which are ones that I've actually been directly involved in. Just another thing to point out is the 2 stars bullet point next to 2021. That shows what it looks like once it's rolled into base rates, and you have that little bit of extra on the back end once the new rate is effective. That would be the main thing that I would point out on this slide. And then just high level, once again, here are the numbers that we're looking at for 2025 versus 2024. One bit of clarification, and I'll have to apologize if this becomes a little bit complicated. The top numbers in the corresponding columns for 2025 and 2024 are correct, but the bottom, for starting at MISO, RECB, true up, net rev requirements, those should actually be flipped around. So you'll see for the bottom line, overall, the net revenue requirements, there's a change of $1.310 million from 2025 from 2024. So those bottom ones, the columns for 25 and 24, should be switched around, but the top numbers are correct. And with that, I will now turn it over to Jason to speak about the new projects in 2025.
And actually, Alex, I think I'll talk about the projects, and then Jason can support some of the need and benefit should there be any questions there. So starting from the top, it's the Brookings Second Circuit. So this is an existing 345 line that the company owns between our Brookings County substation in South Dakota and goes all the way across the state to Hampton Substation near Farmington. What we're doing is we're adding a second circuit to the already second circuit capable structures when it was constructed the first time. The first segment between Brookings County and Lyon County was completed in September this year. The second segment will begin construction in about Q1 2025 with the outage on that segment trying to be condensed to our June through September timeframe, and that'll complete at that point.
Oh, I was just going to say, doesn't that coincide with a map to bring up?
Yep, so phase one is what's completed, and then phase two is what we will be beginning here in 2025.
And you said, did you say you anticipate finishing it in 25? Sorry?
Yeah, the second circuit will be installed between, it probably, right now we're forecasting September of 2025 with hopes to improve that as much as possible.
And when was that line built with just the first circuit?
It was part of the original CapEx portfolio. I'm going to give my best guesstimate at it was in service around 2015. 2016 time frame.
Thank you.
Yep. The next kind of four projects are all related to the MISO Tranche 1 portfolio of work. So we have our LRTP2 Alex Zandria to Big Oaks, our Wilmarth to North Rochester to Tremble with LRTP4, and then the two Wisconsin segments, LRTP 5 and 6. If you'd like, I can give you a rundown of the full description and what's occurring with each of those different projects. It's really sure. what you're up to. Okay, so LRTP 2 is adding, again, a second circuit to 345 kV lines, and there's definitely some associated substation upgrades. We are installing some new greenfield 345. As the line comes into our newly built Big Oaks substation, it's simply to get across the property and terminate at that location. Current status of that project is we did receive a permit order from the Minnesota PUC on November 3rd. So we will be supporting kind of the finalization of that permit order and refining any order comments that came through as part of that. Looking for some minor easements, so just right-of-way expansions, access routes to be able to construct that project early 2025. And then we do anticipate some materials showing up for that project in Q1 2025. Construction starts in earnest on that project for both the substation civil work and then our transmission line foundations right around May of next year. So that's LRTP 2. LRTP 4, which builds between our Wilmarth substation near Mankato, Minnesota, to the company's North Rochester substation, which is near the city of Pine Island, Minnesota, in Goodhue County. And then the third segment goes from that North Rochester to our Briggs Road substation near Holman, Wisconsin. Four is installs two new 345 kV circuits, associated substation upgrades for terminating those circuits, and then it does include some relocation of 161 kV circuit. Currently, we're in the con/route permit support with public ALJ hearings being held in April of 2025, or scheduled to be held in April of 25, and we are anticipating or forecasting a PUC order Q4 of 2025 for that project. We are currently sourcing for long lead procurement items, working through kind of steel procurement, any long lead equipment for substations that are multiple years out for manufacturing and commitments. So getting those kind of our place in the manufacturing line is really what we're focused on right now, with anticipation of having delivery for those to be able to execute on our timeline commitments for the project. And then we will begin, the plan is to begin title work and easement acquisition beginning Q4 of 2025. Moving on then to LRTP5. It is two new 345 circuits, building a new substation and expanding an existing substation, and either expanding another substation or building a second new substation. So there's a lot of variability in that project scope, and it will depend on routing and permit order information in Wisconsin with that project. Currently, it's in the CPCN review support status. We're anticipating completeness. So Wisconsin has a completeness order to say you've got everything that you needed to submit it included. So we are anticipating that before year end of this year, with scoping meetings beginning in quarter one of 2025. ALJ hearings then would follow in Q3 of 2025, and an anticipated final order, assuming everything goes smoothly, in Q4 2025. Same kind of status as the prior project. We are long lead material efforts, making sure we have some of those long material items on order and ready to meet our timeline commitments. And then we would be then starting title work and easement acquisition prep following that permit order in what we're anticipating, once again, for Q4 2025.
Okay, you went through that too quickly for me, at least.
Sure.
So I'm going to repeat back what I think I heard.
Sure.
Then you can start the correction process. I think you've got two substations, and you're going to build for sure one somewhere, and then you're going to build transmission from one of your existing ones to the new one, from the new one to an existing one, and on the two existing ones, one of them will be refurbished or something. The other one might be refurbished or it might be replaced. Is that in the ballpark?
That's in the ballpark, yes. Okay. Yep.
Good summary.
Okay.
I'm going to try to, let me look at my notes here and see if I can clarify which substations are new and which ones. So, the substations, Tremville to Eau Claire to Jump River, are the stopping points. They're the identified stopping points. So we will build between the first segment. And maybe we can get the map. Let me pull the map up here. Get my bearing on my map here. So middle of the map, and it's a little bit small on the screen, you can see the company's Eau Claire substation, named aptly for the city that it's in.
That's the one on the left between those,
yep,
two?
Yep, it okay. is on the one on the further left. So that is one of the options, the company that we're going to be a starting point. Sure. Yep, so the blue dot, if you want to poke that, point that out, Alex. So that is our Eau Claire substation. This will be the first segment, builds 41 to 49 miles, depending on routing, between either the Eau Claire substation or the company's new, so that'll be the newly constructed, just to the right is the Elk Farm
okay.
substation. So that's the new proposed substation.
And then the green line is one of the new lines, and the red or orange one is the other.
It is. That is correct.
How many miles are we talking about here?
Red line on the map is that's the one that's variable between 41 to 49 miles depending on the routing.
Oh, I see the mileage graph on the bottom too. And then what's the blue line?
The blue line then is substation option 2. So that's the proposed Jump River substation. And I got to look to see if that one's ours or if that is ATC's.
The blue line is ATC's.
And that's their section that they're building, correct, Jason?
That is correct, yes.
Would you refresh me on who ATC is?
American Transmission Company. Other questions with LRTP-5, or should we move to LRTP-6?
Hearing nothing, please proceed.
Okay. So LRTP-6 then is a continuation. So it constructs from the Tremville substation and all the way to the Arpin substation. And Jason, you can help me and jump in here. I believe ATC's Arpin substation, and we will again construct and own the Tremville substation.
Yes.
So that's correct. And then what we affectionately call the golden spike in the middle of that line, we will construct, for all intents and purposes, 80 miles of new transmission line, at which point ATC will then take over and construct the remainder into their Arpin substation.
And that's the red and blue dot?
The red and blue dot is actually showing a segments of what we will own and construct. The blue line where it diverges is a routing alternative that's being considered by the Wisconsin Commission. So we in Wisconsin, typically, they require us to provide multiple routing options for these projects. So that's what's represented on the map.
But that's 80 miles of new transmission line.
It is, yes. I should clarify, 80 miles in total. We will be responsible for constructing, depending on which route, either the blue dotted line or the red dotted line, 39 miles, or what would equate to 43 miles if it diverges off of the red route to the blue. Very good. I think that covers the new projects for this filing.
So when you code these as like LRTP2, I'm assuming we're talking about these are all tranche one projects.
They are all tranche one projects. So they're all part of the, I believe it's the MISO naming system how they classified them.
And our LRTP 2, 4, 5, 6, are those meaningful numbers, or are they just for you in your internal process to separate these various projects apart?
They are definitely not named by me. I'll defer to Jason Standing on the call to see if there's some sort of deeper MISO naming convention for what they call them.
There's no deeper MISO meaning, but if you look at the MISO Tranche 1 projects, everyone gets an assigned number. So these project numbers were assigned by MISO, so all the way up through whatever the total is. So they're just assigned by MISO, and we just copied their naming convention.
And so what happened to 3? Is that that one that ATP is doing that's connected to number 4?
3, Jason, you'll have to help me with where number 3 is. Is that a northern Minnesota project?
That might be the Otter Tail one. Or is that is 3 the one from Duluth down to Becker? Give me a second here and I'll find it. But yeah, if you look at the MISO map.
Okay. It's just MISO distinctions.
It's MISO distinctions.
I don't really need an answer then. I just wondered if it was something that I should be taking meaning from.
No, they're meaningful to MISO in one way, and we just copied them.
Okay, very well.
And then did you say that Jason would maybe be going over some of the benefits of these lines?
Yeah, to the extent that there are questions. I mean, Jason, do you want to give kind of a background on the need and benefit and the story behind this tranche one and these projects?
Maybe even to start on which ones you think would benefit North Dakota the most and what you see are the groupings and any kind of other benefits that you might deem appropriate so we can kind of get an idea of how this all fits together.
Sure. The first project that Chris mentioned was the completion of the double circuit of the existing CapEx line. And that one is primarily due to congestion on generation in the west. There's a significant portion of generation that due to the outages of the remaining two single circuits have been causing, you know, curtailment congestion on existing wind farms, primarily out to the west. So the completion of those two circuits should help reduce that amount of congestion curtailment. It's not going to stop it all, but it is going to put a good dent in trying to help reduce some of those numbers. The LRTP projects are a little different because I know you kind of want to view these as individual projects, but you kind of have to view them as a portfolio as a whole. So when MISO studies these and we look at these, based on how they do their analysis, these lines all work together as one. So you can't necessarily pull them out and, you know, determine the benefits or the detriments of each one of these lines cause. So think of all these LRTP projects as working as a whole. So if you look at it that way, the cost-benefit ratio that MISO calculated is definitely above 1.0. So they do, based on the futures, and I forget exactly which one they used, futures 1A, provide a benefit, an overall benefit to the system that is greater than the cost of the projects, if that makes sense. So I can't really necessarily pull them out individually just because, you know, it's all studied together as a whole, if that makes sense. And so as far as North Dakota, you did ask the question about they would, you know, would it benefit North Dakota specifically? All of these projects benefit the whole MISO system. So they benefit North Dakota as well as South Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, everybody. And the MISO footprint is going to benefit from the LRTP Tranche 1 projects.
That's a really broad statement. I mean,
sure. If you have specific angles you're trying to take, I can certainly try to address them here.
And that's the deal with this stuff. It's part of being an RTO.
Yeah.
It's how the cost allocation works. It's how they justify the benefit metrics on this tranche. They went through and, you know, had a whole process for justifying what the cost benefit is and suggesting that it's accurate. And when you're part of an organization like this, and they've approved projects, and it's a tariff that has been approved by FERC, you don't have a lot of recourse on individual projects. For for saying, how does this benefit us specifically? Because it's not, they don't break it down like that.
Well, this is Adam again. Well, I was kind of thinking about the LRTP to the Alexandria to Big Oaks in terms of some kind of relief that you've seen on the 230 kV system between Ellendale and Big Stone South, for instance.
Certainly, this is going to help the 230 congestion that we've seen out in the west on the 230 system, primarily Otter Tails and GRE system. So that line that, you know, LRTP2, we just show our portion of it, but the completion of that project is also a 345 line from Alexandria down to Big Stone, South Dakota. So this is just our portion that we're showing, but that whole project together is to help alleviate some of the 230 concerns that we've seen out in the west. So that is correct.
So I realize these are MISO projects, but so the split between NSPW and NSPM, historically we haven't really mixed very much between those two. Am I way off base in my thinking here? So if there are things that NSPW is having to do, we generally have separated that out to a certain extent. Now, I get that these are MISO projects, and ultimately they will be, you will get some recovery through credits through the MISO tariff for that. But you're asking for recovery in the transmission rider for something within the NSPW territory. I'm just trying to kind of work that through.
So when I remember years ago in this informal meeting, we talked about transmission as being a regional benefit to both our operating companies. So there is obviously an allocation split that I will have to kick it over to our revenue requirements team to talk about what that split is and what that benefit, what portion, you know, Minnesota rate players pay and what Wisconsin customers pay. But that's kind of the thought process between including these projects, because they do qualify, to my understanding, under the statute for recovery in the North Dakota TCR. So that's why they've been included as part of this filing.
Yeah, I guess I'm just thinking we should explore this a little bit more, just because, like I said, historically, you know, other transmission projects in Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, you know, they show up on our rider, we, you know, pay our jurisdictional share of them, but historically, generally, the Wisconsin stuff hasn't shown up, and these are just different enough. I think it's worth exploring to make sure we're...
And I'm trying to look. There are previously approved projects that have been included in the North Dakota TCR, and I'm looking at our list of prior approved. So Bayfield Loop was a project that was approved as part of this TCR.
Okay.
Filing. That's probably the one from most recent memory included here that I can see on this list.
I can answer your question if that's okay, Vic.
I was hoping I could bait you up here somehow.
Zev Simser for XL. The system is planned as an integrated whole, and it's governed by the interchange agreement between NSPM and NSPW. And so when we build stuff in North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, about 15% or so of those costs are pushed over to Wisconsin. Similarly, when we build something in Wisconsin, about 85% of those are pushed over to the Minnesota company, and you get about 6% or so of them. So when we're building out in Wisconsin, the interchange agreement will actually push costs over to us at, just like the riders are set up as, you know, a current return on CWIP. And so by putting them in the TCR, we are essentially made whole for projects that would roll into base rates eventually as essentially interchange agreement costs. And it's pretty consistent with what we've done certainly with the CapEx. The other thing is it allows us to net out the Schedule 26 and 26B payments, so that way you can also get your share of the revenue passed back through through the TCR. So, and it's my recollection is we've been doing it this way since at least I've been out of law school. So I think that's a while now. So hopefully that gets to your point.
Sure. And maybe it's just been we haven't seen a lot of transmission activity in Wisconsin in the recent last, I don't know how many years, but maybe that's why my confusion. I recall there was some sort of interchange agreement. I didn't remember the name that it was an interchange agreement.
So, yeah, and I think you're right. I think most of the development in Wisconsin has been to finish out lines that started in Minnesota, but now they're going even farther.
Sure.
So I think that's part of it, too.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you, Zev.
Can you guys explain how some of this money comes back to us? So we pay, as because you guys host this, so you split the cost of the whole project among your ratepayers, and then you earn money, you earn revenue from MISO for other people using it, so that gets all, and so we actually probably get money back from what we're paying. Or how does that filter through? I'm just assuming that's how it kind of filters through. But
either Jason or Lori, I'll kick it to either of you and I can fill in color commentary if needed.
Did that
so the revenue, yeah, the revenue requirements capture both the revenues and expenses. And so when we get those revenues, that goes into the revenue requirement, and that's how you get the money back.
But we don't have it yet. It's not in operation yet. So it won't be, you won't get any revenues on these lines until they're actually operational. Right?
I believe that is the case. That's true.
Yes, that's correct.
So it'll just be costs. And then when they're in service, there'll be costs minus revenues, and that'll be what the charge is.
Yep.
And
then that flows through, I believe, the Rec B line item as part of the TCR.
Yep, that's correct.
Got it. Thank you.
Any other questions?
How many of the Tranche 1 projects does Xcel have the lead on?
All of these projects that are shown and included here.
I know, but out of all of Tranche 1 for MISO, how many of those projects? I think there's 10 or so projects. Yeah. How many of those are yours?
Well, it'd be 2, 4, 5, and 6. So 4. These are our 4 projects.
Okay, 4 projects.
Yep.
Do you happen to know how many you have in Tranche 2?
I do not. Sorry.
Does anyone on the phone?
I don't know if Jason, do you know if those negotiations have resulted in anything, or if we're near any sort of resolution on who's going to own what with Tranche 2.1 or 2?
Yeah, I apologize. We're still in the early stages of trying to determine ownership and who's taking the lead. So we don't right now. So sorry.
All right.
Looks like we might finish up a little early, but that's okay. The other one went late, so we won't be too upset with you, Alex. This one ends
early. Balance is out.
Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
No, if there are no further questions, I don't think we have anything further to add. No, thank you.
Are there any objections to the evidence in this informal hearing being made a part of the record upon which a decision will ultimately be made? And by the evidence, I'm talking about the handout as well as the recording?
No objections.
None for me.
So then the evidence presented today will become part of the record upon which a decision will be made. Are there any other matters for the record? Seeing and hearing none, this informal hearing is closed, and I want to wish everyone a safe and blessed Thanksgiving holiday.
Yep. Excellent. Drive safely home.